Hey, welcome to Simplify with me, Michael E. Brown. From art and creativity to health and fitness to everyday routines and much more, we will discuss and discover how we can all simplify in order to achieve our goals and be happy. This is Simplify. I'm just gonna keep on dreaming of the way it used to be. No screens that keep our heads down. Beauty was filter free. Social element, the media. We couldn't binge TV. These times will make me miss the way. My guest today is Meredith Bechtel. As a grad student, yoga instructor, and strength trainer, Meredith Bechtel seeks simplicity in her life as a form of self-care to support her in her seemingly hectic lifestyle in New York City. After creating personal boundaries around her relationship with technology, she began to experience a new sense of mental clarity, emotional stamina, and overall happiness in her life. She is also passionate about making food choices that support both personal health and the health of the planet, and considers regenerative farming to be a key part of healing our bodies and our relationship with the natural world. Meredith is a super smart and kind person who truly practices what she preaches. I learned a lot about how to live a low-waste lifestyle and how that can simplify our lives. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy my discussion with Meredith Bechtel. Hey, Meredith, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So I want to start off by asking you, what is a typical day in the life of Meredith like?
So I'm a yoga instructor and freshly a strength and conditioning coach, which I'm not quite sure where that's going to go, but we'll see. And then I'm also in grad school. So every day is a bit of a balance of those three things. I typically teach a couple of lessons in the morning. So I teach all private lessons, which means I go to people's apartments and teach them one-on-one in their home. So every morning I usually have 2 to 5 lessons, depends on the day, where I go hang out with people between the ages of like 40 and 70. Actually, my oldest client's 85.
Wow.
Yeah. And then in the afternoons, I go to school. I have class twice a week. And then on the days that I don't have school, I am doing homework. So lots of different parts of the brain being utilized on a day-to-day basis.
No, for sure. That's really cool. So there's a couple things that you do that I want to make sure we talk about today, mainly because I think they support and exemplify the whole Simplify lifestyle, which you know a lot about. But I'd like to start off by asking you about your low-waste living. Is that a good way to say it, low-waste living?
Yeah, we just try to minimize the waste that we produce.
Of course.
I don't know that it has a buzzword, but that's the goal.
We can make one today. We can make a buzzword. Okay, so we'll say minimizing your waste. This is very fascinating to me. One, because, of course, it's very important, but also because it just seems very difficult to me. So what inspired you to do this?
So honestly, it's hard for me to pinpoint what exactly inspired me, but my memory is all what we shopped at Trader Joe's all the time. And so my memory is always, you know, when you go to Trader Joe's, when you shop on the top floor, at least in New York City, this is how it is. You are shopping while you're in line. Like the line is so long that you get into it right when you enter in the store and then you're just slowly picking things up. So
and the aisles are always so small too.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we're standing in line at Trader Joe's and just there's so much packaging everywhere. And I guess after a while kept noticing how much plastic there was around things that I felt like didn't need plastic. And so I think I started to see things online of people doing this, of talking about all the unnecessary packaging, particularly around food. And then I heard about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. I think that's what it's called. Have you heard about this?
Oh, that's a big like trash island, right?
Yes.
That just floats.
It's like there's so much trash in the ocean that it is. I wish I knew the size of it. It's very large.
No, yeah. I've heard it's like double the size of Texas or something. It's crazy.
Yes, like that's how much plastic is floating around in the ocean. And I remember hearing a podcast about trash and particularly around food waste, but also like all of the plastic involved in our day-to-day lifestyle with like water bottles and stuff. And the one thing that really stuck out to me is someone said, think about the fact that every toothbrush that you've ever used and every toothbrush your parents have ever used and your grandparents have ever used is still existing on this planet today.
Are you kidding?
No. So that just totally blew my mind. And then
I had no idea.
Yeah. Wow. So now all of a sudden I'm at Trader Joe's and I'm like, I can't get any of this plastic. So I think I started doing research on, you know, how I could start to reduce my waste. And there's a lot around food. And really the main thing around food is composting. Mm. So much of our food waste so much of our waste is just food waste. Firstly, like, you know, the skins of things and the pits of avocados, for example, you know, and the seeds of things.
Yeah. And so how do you generally know what's considered compost?
I looked it up. That's how.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
There are farmers markets in New York City.
Okay.
I'm sure it's different for every place. And in fact, I know San Francisco and Seattle, their cities compost. So people compost at home and it gets picked up just like regular garbage. I'm sure there are other cities. Those are just the two that I know of.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So they probably have different protocols. But in New York City, at all the farmers markets, they have a compost drop-off. So online it just says, you know, you can put any – basically what we do is you can put any food product in there that's not – greasy, that hasn't gone, you know, that hasn't been cooked, basically. And you can't put animal product or you can't put meat in.
Oh, okay.
So you can put egg shells in and stuff. So even when I have like one of my plants in our apartment just died.
Oh, that's always so sad. Yeah.
But
I got one right there that's not doing too well.
No, it looks good. I can put that into the compost, for example. So compost is, I want to explain that because some people get confused that I'm like, what I'm doing when I'm composting. All I'm doing is saving my food scraps and not putting them into the traditional waste bin and then taking bin.
Oh, yeah.
And then taking them to someone else to actually make it, turn it into compost. So they will put it into a big bin or where, you know, wherever they put it.
I see.
And worms come, they eat it, and they turn it into soil. So I'm not creating soil in my freezer. All I'm doing is instead of putting all my food scraps into the garbage, I'm putting them in a little bag in my freezer and then bringing them to farmers every week to use for regenerative agriculture.
Yeah, no, and that's so lovely the way you just put that. Yeah, it's amazing what impact this has, as you've been telling me. It's really amazing, and it's also great to hear that a lot of cities are incorporating it too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it really should be law, I think. I'm convinced.
No, and I'm sure it's going there. I mean, I just heard that they banned plastic bags in New York City.
Yes.
Which, that's a huge deal.
I think it starts next week, actually.
That's very amazing. So it really encourages people to bring their own bags, you know. So
I think what was the original question? I kind of went off on compost there for a second.
No, basically just, I think we were just asking, tell us about low waste living, the things you do. What I wanted to ask going off of that is, was it difficult to make these changes? Mm.
Okay. So, no.
Okay.
And this is why, is because, I mean, I think people view, so I haven't gone into other, low waste living things that I do, but they have seemed pretty accessible to me just because I slowly made these changes. So the first big thing that we did was compost. That's why I started off on that. And that seemed like an easy switch to do. You know, you just keep it in your freezer. It's no big deal. I think anybody can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I have the privilege of having somewhere that I can drop it off 20 minutes away. But fun fact, all Whole Foods, if you live near Whole Foods, have a compost bin. So you could literally just go drop your bag of compost off Whole Foods too.
Wow, like right when you're going to your next grocery shopping.
Yeah, exactly. So that was simple. And then from there, all of a sudden my trash can was super empty. And I still have a trash can, obviously, but I really only take it out like once every month, maybe.
Okay.
So then with the compost, you know, once we started doing compost and trying to We started getting interested, and I say we because I live with my partner, Carson, and so we've kind of been on this journey together. But we started looking into other ways that we could reduce our waste just because we kind of got interested in it. So I say no, it wasn't hard because we never bit off more than we could chew.
Yeah.
So I guess the next step was taking a look at all the things in our bathroom. And so we started getting bamboo toothbrushes. I started using shampoo bars and conditioner bars instead of plastic shampoo and conditioner, which in turn made my hair super healthy, which was great. Yeah. And then some people think this is a little gross, but we started using a more natural deodorant. It's basically just like a salt stick.
Oh, okay.
And it took a little time to adjust to, I mean, our bodies, but...
that's right. You need to put a little bit more on at the start.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
I use a natural deodorant too. And so I do know that starting out, it was like, oh my gosh, like an hour later, I'm like, oh gosh, I need to put more on.
Yeah.
But eventually it catches up with you.
Yeah, it does. Your body gets used to it. Yeah. So we just like, it's truly, I actually don't know what exactly it's called, but I'm sure if you type in salt deodorant, it's just like a stone, basically like a salt stone. And so our bathroom was like the next big step. And then, you know, of course we have our reusable water bottles and our reusable grocery bags and such. And then the next step that is, I will say, tricky, and I go a little out of my way for this, but it's because I want to, and when I have time, I do it, which is we do all of our bulk items like rice and any type of grain or seed or nut, mainly seeds and nuts. Instead of buying them in plastic bags at the grocery store, we go to this bulk store that is on the Lower East Side, but we could also do this at Whole Foods, and we bring jars and we fill up our jars, and we get the jars from things like, you know, when we get pickles or something, and then we save that jar and then we go put nuts in it and reuse the jars like that. So that's a little bit more effort. I will admit that.
Yeah.
But I also want to say too, that with all these things, it's not, it was me getting more passionate about it too, but I have always recognized that I'm not going to change the world by, you know, going and taking a jar to and filling it up with nuts. But really what we've always talked about from the beginning is the social aspect of this and the fact that if I show up and I have a jar of, you know, nuts that has a pickle label on the outside or something, I don't know that this has ever happened, but I'm sticking with the pickle example.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that people ask about it. And so, you know, all of our friends have started asking about it, and beyond that, and now here I am talking about it with you.
No,
and,
of course.
You know, it's like it's exciting to see people make these tiny changes, and that's how big change.
Well, you're practicing what you preach, and you're living by example, so other people then see that it can be done, and and so inspires them to do it too. Yeah. So it's really wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, and so based on what you said there, it sounds like it wasn't as difficult to make these changes because you started out slow, which I think is important, you know, to start out slow, and it makes it a little less complicated. It simplifies it. But starting out, did it ever seem daunting to you?
You know, what's daunting is being after the glass has shattered, you just can't go back.
Yeah.
And so that can sometimes feel overwhelming. It's not that it's hard for me to not use waste. It's hard for me instead to go into a store and see, let's take a restaurant, for example.
Okay. Yeah.
To go into a restaurant and there's plastic plates and plastic forks and plastic spoons, and everybody is using all of this stuff, and then they're giving out these massive portions of food, and so then nobody's actually finishing the food that's on their plate, and then they're throwing them away, you know, and the garbage is just overflowing. And I just, like, those images feel daunting to me because I just start thinking about all that plastic and where it's going to end up.
Of course.
And where they easily could be paper plates or just reusable plates, you know? And so that gets I guess that's totally different than what you asked, but that's really where I start to feel like overwhelmed. I'm like, I wish that I didn't have to see this all the time, so that I didn't have to think about it and didn't have to feel.
It's
and
like
I,
you know too much now, you know.
I know too much, exactly, exactly. Yeah.
No, and I can really. I think I've told you before that I was on a kind of a very strict diet for a long time, And that seemed daunting at first because I'm like, oh my gosh, I couldn't have sugar. I couldn't do dairy. I couldn't do grains. And now I've kind of gone off the diet a little bit. Like I'm taking a little bit too. I should probably go back on it. But just because the same as you, I know too much, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you look in the back of the things that I, you know, I go to the store and I'm like, first ingredient, sugar, second ingredient, tomatoes. Right. And it's like tomato juice. I encourage everybody just to kind of look at labels of what sugar, you know, of their food. Yeah. And you'll find that sugar is like in it 8 times out of 10, you know?
Well, so this has been the beautiful thing about our attempt to produce less trash is, so what we say is we shop on the perimeter of the grocery store
when we go.
So that's where all the fruits and the vegetables are and where all of the bulk things are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the bulk bins that we can fill up our jars. And now we're not going into the aisles where all the cookies and the crackers and the jars of fancy sauces are. And so we have a lot less of that in our house, which has really benefited our health as well. So
That's very cool. That's interesting to think about. It's not just helping the environment. It's also helping your health.
Which, yes.
Well, and helping the environment is helping your health.
I'm convinced it's helping my monetary means as well. And it's, I mean, all around. I mean, it has, I'll just go into this a little bit of that it's gone past trash. Like, I don't necessarily think about it as trash anymore. It's just like, I don't get things that I don't need.
Yeah.
And that has been the biggest life lesson. I think we started this in 2018. So that's been the biggest life lesson of the past 2 years is you don't have to have everything that you see online on the big billboards out in the city. You know, it's counterintuitive because it's so ingrained into our culture and into the advertisement that we see on a daily basis, on an hourly basis.
Oh my gosh, consumer culture that we live in.
Yeah. So it's not just trash, it's clothes and even food. Like, I've learned that I don't need to buy as much food as I was buying because so many people end up throwing away so much food because it goes bad, you know, before you can eat it. And you don't need to buy so many clothes and so much of the, you know. It's a whole cascade. So, yeah, just standing in the Trader Joe's line sort of this whole cascade that changed everything for me.
It's amazing. So you can thank Trader Joe's for having those
That's
lines.
Right. Thank you, Trader Joe's.
For having these long lines for us. Inspired. Very cool.
Yeah, and so you'd mentioned that you buy your food from a local farmer's market here in New York City. Can you tell me what you normally buy there and why you choose to go to the farmer's market?
Yeah. So we chose to go there because at some point we were like, okay, well, if we are trying to produce less waste, that includes we started thinking about where our food was coming from because if it's coming from Australia, that's a big plane flight over here, you know, a ship. I don't know how the food gets here from Australia.
It's a long way, though.
It's a long way. And so we started looking into, you know, let's try to get food locally. So we went to the farmer's market, and at first we were like, okay, well, we can supplement our grocery shopping trips at the farm, you know, with the farmer's market. We'll see if we can like get some onions there or some berries or something.
Okay.
And I have to say, over the course of the past 8 months, I think we've been going to the farmer's market, we have totally switched and now we get the bulk of our food at the farmer's market and, you know, we supplement with trips to Whole Foods or to the bulk store or wherever we're going. And it has been fabulous to be able to learn about what food is in season when and to learn about where the food that you're eating is coming from, which I just never considered. And, you know, it's been great to be able to taste this food that's been grown in a really healthy way and without a bunch of chemicals and even our meat too. You know, it's animals haven't been pumped with antibiotics and such.
Yeah.
And the food tastes so good. Mm. It's incredible. So it's been a big journey of learning how to cook specific foods. I mean, we found so many new types of food that we had never worked with before, but in just sort of committing to cooking and eating what we can get locally, And I mean, to an extent, we're not starving ourselves and we're making sure that we're eating and, you know, good nutrients.
Of course, yeah.
But it, you know, at the farmer's market, it's all pretty well balanced, nutritious food.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
So it's been great to just play around. And Carson, my boyfriend, he's so creative with making up meals. It's really fun to, you know, our favorite is squash blossoms. So have you ever heard of squash blossoms?
No, what is that?
We hadn't either. So squash, all vegetables, all plants, they flower. So okay. With the squash, you know, like a summer squash, the long yellow summer squash,
yeah.
Their plant also produces flowers. And so in a particular time this fall, there were squash blossoms at the farmer's market. And this is just like the perfect example of random foods that you've never heard of.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
And so then they suggested that you put a little goat cheese in it. Like at the farmer's market, they give you suggestions of what you can do. So we put a little goat cheese in it, and then we dipped it in some egg and then fried it up. And it was so good.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
And then you have it just like on the side. We actually had it as like a little dessert. So, you know, it's fun. It's a process of discovery, I would say. Mm-hmm. And again, like I recognize I am very privileged to have the time to be able to cook for myself and explore new meals, mm-hmm. and even have a farmer's market within walking distance, because it's true. It's great that there are farmer's markets in New York City, and you would think that they're anywhere, but there are, I know, food deserts, as they're called in the United States and in the world, where people don't have access to,
of course,
you know, and all they have access to are bags of Cheetos and chips and stuff. So I recognize my privilege in that. But that being said, it has been really a great opportunity for us and how we get our food.
No, that's amazing. And you were saying, you said about this, about eating in season. What are some of the benefits of that, you know,
I'm learning about it as we speak.
Okay.
So, well, I mean, for the planet, first off, it's fantastic to eat food in season. That's how, you know, how it's intended. And the food let me start with this. When you're eating in season and you're eating foods that were just made 50 miles up the road, just harvested.
Yeah, of course.
50 miles up the road.
Yeah.
They don't need to have any sort of synthetic chemical added to it in order to lengthen its shelf life, right? Because they should be eaten right away.
Yeah.
They will be. And so there's that. It's much more organic. But then secondly, the food just tastes better. Let me just give you this small example
of
asparagus. Okay. I hated asparagus growing up. Never liked asparagus. And then I learned this year that asparagus is only in season in the month of April. I think it's in season for 1 month.
Are you kidding? Wow.
Now, and so I had it last year in April from the farmer's market. Fantastic. It tastes delicious.
Wow.
So when you're having asparagus in January and you're like, ew, this is gross, I hate asparagus, there's a reason for that. It's because you're super late. You know, it shouldn't be grown.
You missed your asparagus time. Yeah.
You missed your asparagus time. So the nutrients are fresher and it tastes fresher too.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. So I want to talk about yoga now. What got you into yoga and then want to eventually become an instructor?
Okay, so it's a funny story, actually, what got me into yoga. I had done a little bit of yoga in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was a sophomore in college, I got a massage for some, you know, I think I honestly think it was just a friend giving me a massage because I had tight shoulders or something. And I was telling my family about how everybody who ever massages my shoulder says that my shoulders are the toughest shoulders they've ever felt. And so then we were joking about just me being really tense. And so then my dad sent me an email 2 days later and he said, I've been thinking about your shoulders and I feel like you should try yoga. I have not thought about this story in so long, but that right there is the reason that I went to my first yoga class as an adult.
That's so funny. Wow.
I was like, okay, I'll try it. So thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I practiced yoga throughout college, and it was just a great supplement to. I went to undergrad for acting, so mm-hmm. it was a great supplement to that. And then I decided to get my teacher training for maybe not such great yogic reasons, which is that I thought that teaching yoga would be a great supplement to support me while I pursued my acting career.
Oh, okay.
Which, long story short, didn't pan out exactly that way, because obviously I am now just a yoga instructor and I'm no longer pursuing acting. But what happened was I got certified and I started teaching in the city, and I just really fell in love with it and got super interested in it and the body and how it moves, and particularly in working with bodies that are very different from mine. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, the more that I built that career and the more involved that I got in the world of yoga and just in the world of physiology in general. So I'm going to school for exercise physiology now. So yeah. I don't necessarily I'm kind of outside of the yoga bubble. But the more that I studied that, the more interested that I got in that, the more I wanted to pursue that, and the less I wanted to pursue acting. So I let that go. But that is the yoga origin story.
Yeah, no, that's great. And so what do you find are the benefits of a regular yoga practice?
Okay.
I mean, there's so many. But
there are so many.
Yeah, but I mean, what comes to you?
Yeah. I think I think the most benefit that I have found for myself mm-hmm. and for the people that I work with, I can't speak for everyone, but the ritual of it is really grounding. Mm. And especially for, I'm just going to speak to my clients because those are the people that I know, especially for people who are going to work 9 to 6 every day, are super high strung, stressed out, you know, running through New York City, just moving at a mile a minute. To come home at the end of the day or to wake up early in the morning before work and to just sit for an hour and put all your focus and your attention on your body as best you can. That's mm-hmm. what we're working on. It's an ongoing practice.
Yeah.
But can be so beneficial for the rest of your day, for your attention, your focus throughout the day, your productivity throughout the day. And I think that that's why people continue to work with me. You know, everybody that I see, we have standing appointments, and you know, most of them we've been working together for 2 to 3 years at this point. And
yeah.
The ritual of it is very grounding, but also it just makes your body feel good.
A lot
of people who haven't done any exercise throughout their whole life, or stretched, or moved, or done any strength training, like, it is very exciting to start to explore that side of your life and the possibilities that it has. So,
yeah. And so what are some simple ways one could start a regular yoga practice? Like, what would you suggest to someone?
I'm going to give you the golden ticket to your future yoga practice life right now.
Okay.
And it is Yoga with Adrian. Do you know what Yoga with Adrian is?
I do not, no.
Okay. Yoga with Adrian is a YouTube channel.
Okay.
And Adrian runs it. And Adrian is this young, fun girl from Texas, kind of like me.
Yes. Yeah.
And she just started putting these yoga videos up online, and they've really blown up. And everybody loves her because she makes the practice so accessible and fun.
Yeah.
And she has videos that are 5 minutes long. She has videos that are 55 minutes long. There is such a variety. And I just really appreciate her approach to the practice, and that it's not about the fancy poses. It's not about being the model that's on the cover of the health magazines that you see in the grocery stores. Mm-hmm. It is about creating and cultivating a deeper relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is threaded into every video that she has. And you can do it at home, you know?
Yeah.
So it's great. I think that's a great way to start, just so that you can learn a little bit about what yoga is. And then there are great benefits to starting to go to a group yoga class. Mainly the community aspect of it can be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, I have found that I don't love going to yoga classes because it starts to feel competitive.
Yeah.
I just don't like that.
No, I understand. Yeah.
So I would rather, you know, get all of my closest friends. They know Adrian and we do Adrian together.
That's so cool.
So, you know, you can make your own little community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can do it, like you said, you can do it right at home, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so going off of that, I really want to talk about your meditation practice. I want to make sure we cover this. Can you just tell me a little about it? Tell me about what your meditation means to you and how you practice it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to start out, because I've had a journey with meditation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember being at my teacher training, my yoga teacher training.
Okay.
I was the youngest one there and we had a meditation day. And meditation day started with our teacher asking who has a meditation practice. And everybody in the room raised their hand except for me. And so I was so embarrassed. I'd never tried meditation, actually. Mm. I just didn't know much about it. So that's, I began there.
Okay.
And so for the next 3 years, I really continually tried to start a meditation practice. But as you said, you know, all you know of meditation, all I knew of meditation mm-hmm. was that you're supposed to try to not think.
Of course.
You know, that's yeah. That's all I had ever heard about.
Yeah, yeah, standard.
And so you sit down and you try to not think.
Yeah.
Like, that's impossible.
It is impossible.
What I've learned since is that we're human beings.
Yeah.
And telling your mind to not think is like telling your heart to not beat.
Yep.
Isn't that the best quote?
That is the best quote.
It's so good. So, I think it's maybe the year 2017, I just hardcore committed to having a meditation practice. And I probably 4 times a week, every morning when I would wake up, would sit for 10 minutes.
Mm.
But I would just sit there and I don't know what I would do. I would scold myself for thinking, I think is what I did,
awesome.
Which wasn't grounding at all.
Yeah, no.
So anyways, I eventually learned more about meditation. I read more about it. I took a small course in meditation. And I came to find the meditation style that works for me,
mm-hmm.
and which is mantra meditation.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, really learned that it's not about not thinking. It's mm-hmm. about trying to notice your thoughts.
Yep.
And every time that you notice that you're thinking about something that's not your mantra, mm-hmm. I'm just going to talk about my meditation.
Yeah,
when you notice about that you're thinking about something that's not your mantra, then you let that thought go and you come back to your mantra. And at first it can feel like a bad thing to have to do that a lot during your meditation practice. But in fact, at least how I've started to feel is that the more that that happens, the more present you are.
Like yeah.
the more you're noticing that you have fallen off the mantra and you can reground yourself in the mantra. So for me, it was just finding the right practice, the right type of meditation, because I know there's so many different types. So finding the right type of meditation is what really got me engaging with the practice. And
yeah.
now I am so devoted. Yeah, I'm just embarrassing. I will, if I don't meditate one afternoon, I get very irritable. And even Carson will be like, we didn't meditate
we
this
didn't.
Afternoon. We
that,
need, to,
that was
we need to meditate.
No, I find that too. I mean, in the last couple of months, I've been making sure I meditate every day, and I find that when I don't, I feel very differently now that I've, you know, been more committed to it.
Yeah.
And
if I can encourage people to try different times of the day, because
yeah.
as I said, in that 1 year, I always did it right in the morning because that's when I had time.
Yeah.
And now I actually do it twice a day, but the morning is just kind of like for maintenance. When I do it in the afternoon, that I crash in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And so that's when I need it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
such a great boost. But
yeah.
some people, if you're really productive in the afternoon, like maybe you don't need it there.
Yeah, no,
you know,
true.
Maybe you need it in the morning. So just playing around with it and figuring out what works for you. But I think the biggest barrier to entry with meditation is
yeah.
time. Like people think that they don't have enough time,
yep.
but I guarantee you, you have time.
Definitely have time. Always...
If you track your day, you have time. And not only that, but if you do it, you will find that you have hopefully more time because you'll feel more awake,
mm-hmm.
more productive, more ready to go in your day.
I agree. I think it's time, the, you know, trying to combat thoughts as well as afraid of falling asleep are like three are three things that turn people off, because
that's so funny.
It's true. I just remember when I was starting to meditate, it kind of would turn into a nap. You know what I mean? I would lay down, and then I realized, no, I need to sit up. Like for me, it's like you said, you have to find what works for you, the timing that works for you, and know its purpose and know the reason why you're doing it. And what you want out of it. Because like I said, and like yoga, it's a practice and it's something that's an ongoing thing. But that awareness of thought is super key to me. And I just think super key to the practice, obviously. And, you know, understanding that those thoughts are going to come in and out and you're going to have some racing minds nowadays. It's just accepting it and going with it and finding a way that works for you. Like you said, mantra works for you, that's wonderful.
And approaching it with the utmost grace and compassion for yourself, because if you sit down and you just beat yourself up for doing meditation wrong, quote unquote, you're not gonna have the benefit. I mean, ultimately it doesn't matter, you know, I who knows if I'm doing it right, but ultimately I have that time to sit down and do nothing but hang out with myself.
Yep.
You know, so you're cultivating a stronger relationship with yourself. In a loving way.
In a loving way. Definitely. And it should be loving. And it's interesting because, you know, there are certain times too. It's like anything else where, you know, you do it one day and you're like, wow, that was like, that was amazing. Like I really hit the mark that time. And you kind of, in a way, which is hard to not kind of try to always chase that feeling of, you know, because it's a different day. It's a different situation. You got different things in your mind. And that's okay. You need to accept it. It's just constantly accepting.
Yeah. But, been there.
Yes. But it keeps it going though too, because there are some days where I'm like, wow, this is what I'm going for. Like, this is what I'm searching for, and it's amazing. And you know, it's encouraging, but also you gotta accept that
you're not gonna be you're not gonna have the best meditation of your life every day.
No, I wish. yeah. Okay, and so other than some of the things we just talked about, like yoga and meditation, do you have any other favorite practices that you use for simplifying your life?
Yes. My ongoing practice of my relationship with technology.
Okay.
Which has really been a game changer for me in the past. It actually began really around the time that I really committed to my meditation practice. But it's pretty simple. And it is that when I get home at the end of the day, when both Carson and I get home, we turn our phones on airplane mode. Mm-hmm. So it's usually around 7 o'clock.
Wow.
And in fact, we also turn the Wi-Fi router off.
Good for you.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's crazy. That's amazing.
I know. But really what happened was there for months, I just started to feel really irritable and tired and just not comfortable, but I couldn't identify why I didn't feel comfortable in my life. Like my career was going well. I had great relationships with my friends. I was in school, but something was wrong. And I think irritable really is a great word to describe how I felt. And at some point I identified that it was my relationship with TV, because, you know, we work hard and then we get home at the end of the day and it's like, oh, let's like cook dinner really fast. And if we eat in front of the TV, then we can get through 2 episodes tonight of whatever show we were watching, you know. And at some point I was like, enough is enough. This is crazy. I felt like I wasn't able to spend enough time with Carson. Mm-hmm. I wasn't having time to just reflect and debrief and let go of the day that I'd had. So I think starting the meditation practice was my first tool to try to address this irritability that I was experiencing. And then at some point I was like, this technology has got to go. I kind of set the rule. Carson is great enough that he agreed to it. So we turn the phones on airplane mode. We turn the Wi-Fi router off. So there's no TV on weeknights. And then you know, when we wake up in the morning, our phones are on airplane mode. So I usually spend the first hour. I have about an hour at home before I leave. So I don't check my phone until I'm getting ready to walk out the door so I can check the weather.
Okay.
That's when I turn the phone back on. So for 2-3 hours, whatever it is at night, and then for an hour in the morning, I don't have any relationship with technology.
Yeah.
And that, I think, has been the best self-care practice that I have been able to engage in, which it's funny to call it self-care because it's not like a bubble bath, but sometimes self-care is not easy. It doesn't feel good. Like I used to tell myself that watching TV was self-care. Like I deserve this. You know, I worked hard today, but it's not. It is self-destructive, really. It doesn't make you feel good in your body, whatever. So I call this a self-care practice for sure.
And it definitely is.
Yeah. So that is my other big practice that I engage in outside of meditation.
It's truly amazing. I will say, because you know, going off of that, I think with how hyper-connected everything is in society nowadays, you even find people on the street, you know, always looking down at their phones. I mean, everybody knows this, you know. It's like we're always constantly filling the space. We're always filling the space by consuming something. So whether it be, you know, I'm on the subway, let me look at my phone, or I'm waiting in line for something, let me look at my phone and watch this video of something. There's never time anymore that people just spend, how about I just stand in line and look around and observe and just be present, be in the moment. There's a time to meditate.
Right.
While you're waiting in line. Going back to that.
On the subway. I do it on the subway all the time.
You can do it anywhere. And I think that is such a crucial thing because it allows us to think for ourselves in those moments. And I think when we get into these habits of constantly looking at the phone, constantly, you know, always needing a screen in front of us, we lose that sense of like, let me just be present, think for myself, listen to the silence that there is. And it's amazing when you do those things, you really find that, I find, and personally, you get more creative, you feel more energetic about certain things, you know, you just feel this peace of just being able to just be with yourself and be with others and not be so consuming all the time, you know? And so I think that's very admirable that you do that. So that's really awesome. And that's nice to hear. And I think it's something that we can all do, you know, little things throughout the day that we can do to cut back on all this technology. And
even, you know, it's really great to ground and be with yourself.
Yeah.
And through meditation and through times of not looking at your phone. But also what I found that is just kind of like a personal joke I have with myself is I'm trying to train myself to be bored more. Like,
it's true.
I don't even have to. If I'm standing in line, I'm like, ugh, I don't feel like grounding right now. I just want to be bored.
It's true. It's like when last time you were bored. It's so true. You're right.
Creativity. I feel like I have the best ideas ever when I meditate.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I'm getting distracted by, like my good ideas.
It's true. It all comes to you in those times. Yeah. Of silence, you know? It's amazing. And of course, in your connection with other people and to, you know, you just, when you're more grounded with yourself, you're more, you know, aware of yourself and aware of the thoughts that are happening and you're able to communicate with other people a lot better. So that's really interesting.
Okay. So now in closing, I just want to say that this has been truly a wonderful conversation. I thank you so much for being here. You truly are someone who practices what they preach, and that is just so, so inspiring. So I want to ask you a closing question. What is a simple joy or a natural beauty that you are grateful for every day?
Well, firstly, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
And I have to say nature.
Okay.
In this past year as well, if you can't tell, 2019 was a big transformation year for me.
Yeah.
I went on my first backpacking trip, and I was just forever changed. I didn't see a car or a cell phone for 6 days and just was one with the trees. And I came out the other side feeling so grounded and connected to myself and my body and the world at large. It made me feel small, but in the best way, you know, like all of those problems that we have on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis are nothing. Like there's a huge network of trees and roots and fish in the deep sea. You know, there's all this other stuff going on. And so I feel like it gives me perspective. And I don't get a lot of it here in the city.
Yeah, it's hard.
But I think that's something that I'm just trying to work on more is I'm not going to say work on more, you know, I'm trying to take advantage whenever I can of when I see a tree or when I have the opportunity to leave the city and be surrounded by trees, which I'm doing tomorrow. I'm very excited. I'm going to Vermont.
Awesome.
Yeah. I take a breath and I soak it in for a moment because it really is very invigorating, I find, nature. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Amazing conversation.
Yeah.
And I wish you all the best in everything you continue to do. And I'm grateful for this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed that conversation with Meredith just as much as I did. Please subscribe to Simplify and check us out at simplifylife.com as well as on Instagram at Simplify. Go on Instagram and DM me with new episode ideas, and please leave comments about past episodes as well as what you would like to see in the future. And thank you all so much, and this is Simplify.